The Federal Postal Coalition's launching a campaign to attract new federal employees that are still in elementary school. The coalition's marketing agency positions people dream of having starting when they're little kids. Janet Copenhaver is the Washington representative of federally employed women. Boy, you're all starting them awfully young, aren't you, Janet?
I love that intro, Francis. Yes, we are. But, you know, it's kind of refreshing. We spent all last year, as you know, playing whack-a-mole, just trying to stay ahead of the latest disaster. So now we're kind of sitting back and saying, we really want to tout, you know, the services that are provided. And like you said, these are what little elementary school kids, you know, I want to be president when I grow up, or I want to be a firefighter, or I want to be an astronaut. So that's what we're trying to do, and we're looking forward to it.
This is a campaign that is, I think, uniquely suited to this coalition, groups of advocacy groups like federally employed women and the unions and that represent federal employees, postal workers, and so on, because there are not many organizations that can tell the stories of federal employees from a rank-and-file perspective. I wonder exactly how this program will work overall as you try to let more people know, hey, these are the things that federal employees do that you really count on.
Well, exactly. And as you know, a few actually did something about, I guess it was about 18 months ago, where we went through a 24-hour day in 30-minute increments and how the services provided by federal workers impact everything that we do each and every hour. And it was kind of sprouted from that, you know, people kind of take it for granted what we do and what the federal workers do throughout their careers and to help Americans. So, yes, the coalition is about, we represent about 5 million active and retired federal employees, and we're out there and we're going to try and just really spread the word beyond the Beltway about the services that are provided and the great careers and professions that people can have in the federal government.
I know that on a short-term basis, the shutdown was really bad and it didn't help anybody do anything. But I wonder if long-term, one of the residual effects might be, well, the reason that the shutdown was so unpopular with the average American citizen was there were things they were counting on the government to do that they didn't do. And it wasn't just the national parks and stuff like that were niceties. You know, people were calling various offices that they were expecting to have them do things for them, and they weren't doing things for them. And the agencies quite candidly and honestly said, we can't do that because we're not open for business, or that's a service that we're not able to perform for the limited parts of this agency that are open for business. So I wonder if one of the long-term residual effects of the shutdown might be positive in that people say, hey, maybe the guy or woman that I know or that I count on isn't the boogeyman after all.
Exactly, like that old what was it, the Ronald Reagan expression, you know, the scariest expression, I'm here from the government.
Yeah, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Exactly, exactly. And yes, you heard all these stories afterwards, you know, wait times were really long and critical services, that people weren't getting answers, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, I think, unfortunately, it took a shutdown to start people thinking about that. So we're going to kind of go on that wavelength and now sort of push the fun careers and, hey, wait a minute, you know, maybe there is a good career for me in the government on top of the fact that we do provide all these critical services to Americans.
Do you think it's possible, too, that we might be in a position to drive a reasonable conversation about what federal employees do? And it strikes me that that reasonable conversation consists of, here are the things that we expect folks to do. Here are the things that Congress has tasked the agencies at various times throughout our 220-some years of doing. And if there are things that they shouldn't be doing anymore, that's fine. Let's let them no longer do those things, but let's not expect them to deliver this level of service. And I have my hand way up in the air with this level of staffing, and I have my hand a lot lower down.
Well, that's true, and it's just a crazy thing. And I don't have the exact figures, but you look at the IRS, you know, that the tax forms have become so incredibly complicated, and yet their level of personnel keeps going down and down. So, you know, they make money. So if they're enforcing the tax laws and there's not enough people to do that enforcement, well, we're just losing money because people aren't paying the taxes that they should be paying. So, or you look at inspectors, highway inspectors or vehicle inspectors, anybody that's in that field, and the number of vehicles on the road has just, you know, multiplied immensely, and yet the staffs keep going down. So you're right. I mean, at some point we're going to, if we haven't already, we're going to hit that crunch. And it's like we cannot do all the services that Congress is telling us to do if you keep cutting the federal workforce. And that's another thing. We really need to kind of combat some of these myths that are out there about federal pay and the size of the federal workforce, because there's a lot of erroneous stuff out there that just keeps being regurgitated, and it's just wrong in many instances.
The federal pay debate, Janet Copenhaver is the Washington representative of federally employed women. The federal pay thing is something, though, that I think is going to be much more difficult to solve, mainly because we have such a difficulty getting all the various stakeholders and people who have an opinion to agree on how you're even going to measure what the compensation package is and how you're going to categorize the various jobs that people do.
Right. And the biggest error that I found in that whole debate is when they would put together these averages for the private sector versus the public sector. The private sector average included your workers at McDonald's, your minimum wage workers. Well, you don't have minimum wage people in the government because they're more educated. That's really matching apples to oranges. And until they, you know, do it the right way and just actually compare oranges to oranges, then you can kind of combat that myth about the federal pay.
Janet, always great to have you on the program. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Francis.
Janet Copenhaver is the Washington representative of federally employed women, and you can hear my conversation with her and read more about their program at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.